The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine, so much more than a producer.
What's up, brother?
Live from Bar Canada, the Dave's Hattonin.
Not much. Got an extra shot of espresso today.
Did you?
I was not proud of myself yesterday on the show. I was a little sleepy, a little tired. I don't know what was wrong with
me. You want to know my story for today?
Yeah. Oh, yes, I do. I do. We're
so,
going to talk about this really quick before the show.
So my cousin's, well, I didn't tell you the whole thing. So my cousin's daughter, who lives in Israel, we talk pretty much every night now.
Yeah, I
and
can imagine.
She's kind of my person. And, you know, I'll take any call. She's like, are you going to sleep? I'm like, yeah, but you can call me. So I go to sleep at like midnight. Mm-hmm. No biggie. You know, that's not a crazy thing.
Yeah.
3 a.m, smoke alarm battery goes off, right? So this constant, by the way, it's so much louder than your standard alarm. And in the middle of the night, I'm up and it's situated in a point where you have to kind of contort your body. It's not like easy.
Wait, is the one where you're getting it like every 10 minutes where it's like beep, beep.
10 minutes. Beep, beep. Talk about like 20 seconds.
So the alarm goes off. The alarm was
not
going
off. Not the
alarm. Not the battery.
No, the battery beep. So it's okay. Like, oh, you need to replace your battery.
Okay.
I took the battery out. Guess what happened? Kept beeping.
They all
couldn't,
do that. I don't know why.
Pull it out of the wall. The one in San Francisco works fine. You could just do it. It's real easy. This one, it was like I was trying to crack a code of some kind. Anyway, it's still back at the place beeping right now.
I've had multiple where you finally get to that point. You take the battery out and you're like, why is this still beeping? This should not work. I have removed the power source.
Of course, I didn't have a like standard 9-volt on site to replace it with.
That's the other thing, right? Yeah. These battery companies, you know, they're really swindling you. You know, it's like, why can't we just make everything double A's? Why we got to have all these different kinds of batteries?
Anyway, so I haven't slept since then. I'm wide awake. Oh, yes. We have a good show, by the way. Should I mention that? Will Hill to talk NFL and college football with us, not to mention Major League Baseball, all of his plays. Mike Pritchard on the show. Got to talk Colorado with him. Sort of contractually obligated. As tough as that discussion might be, won't be that tough. Get his thoughts on just what's going on in the NFL. What does he make of the poor offensive play league-wide? We'll get into that as well. And Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke talking Major League Baseball playoffs, which is just, if you have just been betting the Phillies over and over and over, and I just hope you have, run line, whatever. What an ATM machine this postseason has been. The Phillies get it done last night. Final score, 10-0, in case you went to bed early. They do so by virtue again of solo shots. Trey Turner in the first, Kyle Schwarber on the very first pitch at the bottom of the third to make it 2-0. Kyle Schwarber again, solo shot in the sixth. That was followed by 3 more runs in the sixth, 4 more in the seventh, 10-0. Philadelphia Phillies. They take a 2-0 lead in the best of 7 National League Championship Series for the Phillies now. That is 46 runs in their 8 postseason games. By the way, that's 13 solo shots in a row.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's one of the weirdest things ever. 13 solo shots in a row.
I actually didn't know what the number was, but I was even thinking about it last night. I'm like, this has to be 6 or 7 in a row. It was 13.
13 in a row. 16 of their 19 postseason home runs have been solo shots.
Wow.
They have slugged 16 homers over the last 5 games, which is more than any other MLB team over a 5-game stretch in a single postseason. I think it's actually 15 homers in 4 games, if I'm not mistaken. But they have just been unbelievable. And so, Phillies backers, you're minus 750 now to win that series. The Diamondbacks, if you have any interest in the D-backs coming back, it's plus 550. Game 3 of the ALCS with the Rangers with home field now. Remember, they won their first 2 games at Houston. They take the trip up the road to Arlington here for game 3 tonight. Astros plus 360 if you have interest in playing the Astros to still win this series. It is going to be Christian Javier against Max Scherzer tonight. I will be on the Astros tonight. I do believe, and again, I have that exact of Phillies over Astros. Is it colored by that? I don't know about that. I just think it's one of these things where we don't know where we're going to get from Max Scherzer. In the case of Christian Javier, again, we said this before his last start in the postseason. Your numbers haven't really mattered with some of these pitchers, especially at Houston, when they get to the postseason. Javier, who, you know, strikeout rate was 10% lower this year than it had been, career, or should say from last year. And His slider has been down in terms of velo. Yet he comes out, he throws five scoreless innings against Minnesota, gives up one hit, five walks, nine strikeouts in that one. His postseason ERA career 1.91 in 37 2/3 postseason innings career, three playoff starts, 16 1/3 in the three playoff starts, 16 1/3 scoreless innings, two hits and 10 walks to 23 strikeouts. So listen, do you like that? By the way, last time he played at Globe Life Field, that was his worst outing of the season. It should be pointed out, 8 runs in 4 1/3. But with Scherzer, there's many more question marks with him. Just everything down this year from Scherzer, even when he was pitching. His average fastball velocity is now below 93 miles per hour. Continues to go downward. His strikeout rate, his lowest since 2013. His walk rate is highest in a full season since 2013. His home run rate higher than it's ever been. I'll take my shot with Houston as a slight dog today. Plus 116 is what we're showing consensus. So that is the play in game three. If the Astros don't win this, it's pretty much Katie bar the door. Yes, it has happened in baseball history where a team has come back from a 3-0 deficit. But as you know, it's quite rare. Can't think of any off the top of your head. Quite rare. And so Red Sox.
When's the last time Scherzer pitched?
He pitched. What was it?
Like he's been out a while.
Yes,
right?
He's been out. Mm-hmm. He's been out.
Is this not odd to bring someone back in the middle of a series like this?
Yeah, he missed 5 weeks.
I understand it's Max Scherzer, but still.
Well, that's the thing. He missed 5 weeks with a strained teres major muscle in his right shoulder.
Yeah, I feel you, Max.
He had a 3.20 ERA in his starts with Texas. 8 starts with Texas. The worst, by the way, against the Astros, it should be pointed out. But it is a weird thing. There is some awkwardness for sure. I don't know if they admit this, but like Bruce Bochy having to sort of insert him now when the Rangers are 7-0 in this postseason, and now Maxie's going to go in there, and he has the potential to give up home runs. That's always, even in his best of times, that's always been his bugaboo.
I just don't know if you're the Phillies or the Rangers. I wouldn't be messing with anything right now. I mean, these two teams are cruising.
I don't see how the Phillies are getting beat by anybody.
Me either. Yeah. Me either. And I haven't been hitting it every game, but yeah, these past couple games, it's been Phillies every time. And the Rangers, I've bet the past couple games, but I don't know. I think I'm with you. I think I might just be landing on the Astros today simply because I don't know if you should be bringing back Scherzer.
It's bad for Major League Baseball if the Rangers win tonight.
Yeah.
Oh boy. If they win tonight, this is another postseason round that might just be gone in a blink of an eye. And then we're going to have a big rest before the World Series if this happens. We'll see. By the way, if you're in a BVP, batter versus pitcher, which I rarely am because rarely is there a sample size meaningful enough to really extend into anything predictive. But if you do like that kind of thing tonight and you're thinking about props, Michael Brantley props might be your thing. 20 of 54 with 8 doubles, a triple, and 3 homers lifetime against Max Scherzer. So throw that out there. We didn't get to talk about Monday guessing lines, which we usually lead off the show with, or yesterday is Survivor. Survivor, of course, we do it through the prism of Circa. I am out. Kelly is out. We're both gone. But we promise, yeah. Just because we're gone, we're not going to stop talking about it. And the reason that it sort of went by the wayside this week is barely anybody got knocked out. Barely anybody got knocked out this week, week number 6. In fact, a grand total of 47 entries got knocked out of Survivor this week. That leaves 1,789 remaining entries out of the initial 9,267. That is 80.69% gone. And again, if you ooh and ah at the 80.69%, let me remind you that last year at this time, do you know what percentage was gone last year at this time?
89.3%.
93.8%. And remember, there was over 6,000 last year. So at this point last year, there were fewer than 400 entries left. Last year was bananas.
Oh, man.
Fewer than 400. And remember, a few people got to the promised land, got all the way to the end.
Was it at this point last year that we started talking to Bob DeLuca?
Yeah, right? I think this was it.
Right, because it was very minimal left.
That's
right. And there were certain people that had 5, and he had 5.
Well, he had 6.
Sorry.
And he was going all in on the Bills, and they famously, I believe, lost in Yeah, that was that. Sorry, Bob. We love you, Bob. Yep. Crush them sports. But this week, everybody won. Rams, Dolphins, Bills, Chiefs, Ravens, Jaguars. Only the most that got knocked out on any team was the Eagles, and only 25 had them. So you have, as compared to last year, way, I mean, obviously a much bigger percentage still remaining. You also, I'll just, again, juxtapose it against the very first year of Survivor 3 years ago. You have more entries still remaining in Survivor now than you did to begin the first year of Survivor. So it's still infancy at this point. Just under 1,800 entries left. We got 1,789 left. Intrinsic value of each, Kelly, $5,179.99. When I, after week three, finally went in and tried to like script out some stuff, this was the week to play Seattle hosting Arizona because I didn't have Buffalo left.
Yep.
So I think there's going to be a massive percentage on the Seahawks this week.
I was just looking this over, too. I think that is the, you know, assuming you have them left, assuming you haven't plotted out another spot for them, I think they are the team this week.
Week 7 this week and week 9 in 2 weeks appear to be the weeks that are just really difficult to come by. That is, if you wave off the fact that the team that I have next week slotted in was the Chargers, which is never a pleasant experience.
Yeah.
So it feels like Seahawks this week, Chargers next. If you have them available, it's hard to determine what you have. But this is where I think zigging while everybody zags. Because if there is a blow up and the Seahawks lose, I think a mess of those 1,700 plus are going to get knocked out this week.
And the intrinsic value, when you see that no pick, someone didn't get a pick in.
Someone still didn't get a pick in. We'll talk about wild card odds. Not to make the playoffs, not to win the conference, but wild card odds next.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Vidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. How's the leg, man? I didn't ask you.
It is what it is.
Yeah, what does that mean?
It's got to a point where it's improved enough where I can walk.
Still a little bit of a limp?
Yeah, still a bit of a limp.
But you have had an already scheduled doctor's appointment tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow. So right. I don't even think I'm going to bring it up right now.
Come on, really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, if it's better, it's better.
I mean, it's getting better.
All right.
But I think it's just hit a point where it was still enough that it's taking a while to actually get fine.
For those who missed it, when Matt Brown kicked his field goals this last Friday, the person injured was Kelly Vidlin. So we just want to make sure
punts,
he's okay.
Man. Shagging some punts.
Still to come this hour, we will talk to Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Dan Bespris. You want to talk some NBA?
Let's go.
Dan Bespris joins us, the baby-faced assassin. Talks NBA with us a little later on. And we'll do teaser time as well. Teaser time. And we'll discuss what we think are the best teasers in the NFL after a week where I think we both had successful teasers, did we not? Both
yeah, I only had one, but it got home.
Everybody had a successful teaser this past week.
Yeah, it got home easily. I got a few I like this week.
We get tweets, by the way. I want to read a couple tweets here. This is from Shine. Shine the professor. Professor Shine. He says, Will Hill's conspiracy theories aside, remember, NFL overs could go 15-14-1 the next 30, and this would still increase overall NFL overs and bettors would make nothing. This is from Bottom Line Bets hates my power rank. He said Gil might have the worst NFL power rankings imaginable. In what world are the Chargers ahead of the Lions? I need some of what you're smoking. I love that you don't have a problem with 9 of my 10, but that's the one that's the controversial one. Okay, let me just do it.
You're stirring the pot with that.
Let me do it this way. Let's do this fairly.
Yeah.
If the Chargers are home, no, neutral site, Chargers Lions, what's the line?
Neutral site, it's a pick'em.
I'll even give you this. If the Chargers are hosting the Lions,
yeah,
I'll even give you that it's Chargers 2.5, let's say, just to have the conversation. And if the Lions are hosting the Chargers, just for the conversation's sake, I'll give you 3.5. How about that? Even though I think it's 3.
Oh, I'm
way.
Hammering Lions.
Okay. You're hammering Lions?
Plus 3.5?
No, minus. If they're home, they're minus.
Detroit's home.
For the purposes of this conversation. Oh, my God.
I thought you said the Chargers were at home.
All right, trying to follow along here. So I think that it would be three either way. I think it would pick them. I think
me
you're
too,
right.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But for the purposes of the conversation, I'll even allow, because he's so upset with my rankings, that the Chargers, let's say they'd only be -2.5 at home, and that the Lions would be -3.5 hosting the Chargers. Even if you allow for that, you're calling me like I'm smoking something. It's not that big of a difference, right? I'm saying like the controversy in there is very slight to me.
Yeah. But this is why we do this. This is why I love doing these, because not only are they a good practice for bettors and to figure out in your own mind where you rank things, but it also causes controversy, which is always good.
We like
for
controversy.
A show.
I guess what I'm saying is, at worst, it ain't that big of a disagreement with the market. Is all I'm saying. Don't be fooled by the results. Consider who these teams are playing as well. Mike Pritchard joins us now. He joins us not only as VSiN's own, but of course, he actually played the game. First round draft pick, national champion. How you doing, Pritch?
I'm great. I'm concerned about Kelly, though. Did somebody sweep your leg or what happened?
Oh man. You know how it is, Pritch. You plant your feet at the 10-yard line. You're not going to let that ball go over your head. It goes over your head. You try to make a play on it, and boom, I just cut. It popped. It yanked. It was bad.
Yeah.
You know how it is. I hate that. I love when he said, you know how it is, Pritch. Like, the two of you are samesies. You and Kelly, well, Pritch.
I'm limping around myself, though, Kelly. I mean, I'm right there in the same boat with you.
Well, why are you limping?
I tweaked an old injury. You know, when you're bone on bone. Oh. I don't know if Kelly's bone on bone with one of your knees, but I tweaked it, and it blew up on me like a cantaloupe. I don't have access to the tour at all and the draining in the knee like I used to. But I'm a candidate for all that right now.
Give me some of that stuff too, Pritch.
Yeah.
it's the good stuff, Kelly. It is.
Okay. Well, I hope you feel better, man. I hope it goes better.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Absolutely.
Old football injuries cannot be fun. I want to ask you a couple questions. One, let's start with Colorado. Famously 29-0 against Stanford. They squander it. They lose in double overtime. Shador has a bad pass. Did you watch that game with the sound up, Pritch?
I did.
Lewis Riddick and Mark Jones was the play-by-play guy.
Right.
Did you think that was a little too much cheerleading going on in that broadcast?
Well, yeah, it tends to be that way. You know, I think when you sit down in front of Coach Prime or Deion Sanders, you kind of get captured by his magnetism. You get captured by the presence of the guy. And definitely over the top. I think all the broadcasts, even Joe Klatt, who is right down the middle a lot of times, he was getting over the top. You know, Gus is going to be over the top. We already know that. But for the most part, I think the coverage of Colorado has been indicative of the hype. And I think a lot of broadcasters are getting caught up in all that.
Do you, your over under, your total, your season win total was 3.5, correct?
Correct.
So you already won yours. Here's my question, because this came up with Futak yesterday. Do you think at the end of the season they will still be stuck on 4? That you will have ended up winning this by a half a game?
There's a pretty high degree of probability of that happening. You know, from what it looks like right now, we know that Colorado's flawed, right? The secondary, they don't have a lot of depth. And if Shador has a bad game, then where else can they go? Because they don't have a running game. There's a lot of flaws right there. And so I think teams are getting better as we get deeper and deeper in the season. And Colorado isn't one of those teams. I mean, they came out the gate, right? And surprised people and shocked people, got to the 3-0 situation. And now they're reeling a little bit. And so you never know what a team is made of until adversity hits. And certainly, I don't know if you have a chance to be great unless you have calluses. And that Stanford loss is certainly a callus, a blister, and all that stuff for the program and for the fellas out there. So if they can rebound, I mean, I think they're capable of winning a couple more games and getting bowl eligible. But if everything hits the fan and so they don't get better, then I think this team can continue to lose games.
Let's shift to the NFL, if you would. We were just talking about yesterday, Scott Kazmaier had a tweet. 9 teams won NFL games in week 6, scoring fewer than 21 points. 9.
Right.
Scoring is way down. We just went through the early games, the totals, which most of which in the early window on Sunday this coming week are in the high 30s. It's like we've thrown back to 15 years ago. What is your best theory as to why this has happened?
The running game. You know, so many teams are doing the same thing throwing the football, right? We get to the read option stuff. We don't even talk about that anymore. Chris Collinsworth doesn't have much to talk about now on his broadcast because nobody's doing the read option stuff, really. And I think we got nickel defenses predominantly out there, the 4-2-5 setup. And so, you know, I came into the league, we were running a run and shoot. If there was one linebacker, even two linebackers, we're running a football, even though we wanted to throw it. Just because of the numbers and the size and the advantages that we have with blocking and certainly double teams and getting up on a second level of a defense. And so you're seeing that a little bit more. Also, lack of execution, I think quarterback play is down as well. Gil, I heard you and Kelly talking about teasers, and I think a lot of people are doing well with that. And I'm actually doing well with parlays because of what you just said. I mean, think about it. You kick four field goals and a touchdown, you're at 19 points, right? And so if the bulk of teams are averaging 19, 20, 21 points a game, then you're in that range. And so scoring has been tight, but I think it's better. There's plenty of opportunity out there right now.
Well, let's talk about one of those seeming opportunities, which is, okay, maybe this has adjusted on the totals too quickly. Maybe this is too dramatic. Maybe this will actually be an overfest. And so my question to you as a former ball player is, was there ever a time in your career, and I get it, a lot of gamblers like to have conspiracy, but I'm really interested in this. Was there ever a time where, because Will brought this up in the last segment, where the NFL's got to be hearing a bunch of folks, not just myself, but a bunch of folks saying, wow, this product has kind of sucked the last couple weeks. Do you think it's possible for, and I'm not saying it's a conspiracy, but just a conversation, right? A conversation where the league makes it clear with the head of officiating, like, okay, let's lay up on this kind of thing, or like, let's make sure that we can sort of, you know, in on an aggregate level, adjust how this is being played. Do you think that's a possibility where it might induce more scoring?
Yeah, it depends on the crew. And I think as a bettor, you probably should invest some time in understanding the crew and the makeup of the crew. Like Monday Night Football, that was a sloppy game. There's a ton of penalties. Now, by the letter of the law, should they throw the flag? Yeah. But for the integrity of the game and for the entertainment value, why are you throwing so many flags? You can warn the fellas out there, say, look, if you do that again, I'm going to throw a flag. And I think we'll start to see that, you know, depending on the experience level of the crews and the nature of the officiating crews as well. If you got a young crew out there or an ambitious referee crew out there, then yeah, you're going to see plenty of flags. Again, they're going to go according to the letter of the rule book. But the integrity of the game and certainly entertainment value, you know, hold the flags, just warn the players. And I think we'll start to see that more and more because we want to see better football. We want to see scoring go up. We don't want to see, 14, 15, 16 flags out there, especially on primetime on a Monday Night Football game.
Yeah. And I wonder, you know, how like we watch tons of games where the right tackle or the left tackle is just two steps ahead of the ball being snapped. Right. I wonder if that just goes into overdrive where they just let that go, just to give one example of how we're not going to flag this. So they're going to dare the officiating crew to actually flag some stuff such as that.
Yeah.
Mike, always interesting to get your perspective on these things. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great day.
Mike Thanks. Pritchard, everybody, at M.I. Pritchard. I love it when you said, you know how it is, Mike.
You know how it is. Hey, Mike, cut some sick cloth.
You know how it is. Samesies, me and you. Twinsies. Teaser time on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get daily email recapping all the best bets from not only this show, but all shows, hosts, and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up today for only $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. Real quick, I want to get to these last couple tweets. This is from Blue Hen Bill. I'm so glad you brought this up, Blue Hen Bill. Talk about waiting to hear about injury status. If Lane Johnson plays, it's Eagles big, but if he's out, it's a stay away. With Lane, the Eagles are 59-21. Without him, they're 10-30. We have brought up these Lane Johnson stats through the years on this show, but those are the updated ones. They also fell apart once he went out against the Jets. Best right tackle in football, Blue Hen Bill says. Hard to argue with that. Scott Weston, S. Irwin Weston here, Gil. We finally figured out who shot J.R. Brandon Staley, who shot JFK Brandon Staley, and who killed Nicole Brown Simpson. That was freaking OJ, but Staley hid the knife and drove the Bronco. That's what it's gotten to. It's to blame for everything. What was before we get to best worst, what was that NFL stat? The Broncos were the lowest scoring team in the NFL last year. They scored 16.9 points a game.
I love how we remember things 30 minutes later.
Yeah. How many teams are lower than that now?
So, yes, last year they were lowest scoring at 16.9.
Yes. Right?
Currently, through 6 weeks of the NFL season, there are six teams.
Six.
That are averaging under that mark.
Wow. Nearly a quarter of the league.
The Giants, 11.8 points per game, and the New England Patriots, a whopping 12. And then there's a sizable jump to the Steelers at 15.8.
Man, oh man, oh man. All right, let's get into the NBA, and let's begin with this. This is from...
Oh, I do have slight breaking news, too.
Oh, please,
Anthony
go ahead.
Richardson, done for the year, will go under the knife for shoulder surgery.
Done for the year. Anthony Richardson, done for the year. Gardner Minshew, that is your team. This is from David Purdom over at ESPN. Top five teams by money wager to win the NBA title at BetMGM. The Nuggets, number one. The Suns, two. The Heat, the Lakers, and the Celtics. Lakers are in the top five. We bring in Dan Bespris, everybody, from the Fantasy NBA podcast and Fantasy NBA Today podcast. And, of course, Sports Ethos, where he is still assistant GM. I don't know why he's not the full GM yet. He joins us now. How you doing, Dano?
Someday, Gil.
Someday. Someday. I love that. SportsEthos.com.
How are you guys?
I'm great, man. How are you? You doing great? Your off season okay?
Yeah, it's long, man. That was a long off season. You know, you got the extra week in October.
Man, what are you talking about? It feels like the NBA finals ended 3 weeks ago. Really?
Oh no, I'm lusting for NBA now. I got the juices flowing.
Lusting. You know, some people lust over other things, Dano. You're allowed to lust over that. That's what you want.
That's right.
That's cool.
Come on, opening night is a holiday. A lot of people get this way about, you know, opening day for football. Baseball actually kind of gets me too on that same deal.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you see the field that you're walking out and the whole thing. Yeah. But Dan, NBA, yeah. I love it.
Dan, for those who don't know, used to be the play-by-play guy for the single high A Bakersfield Blaze, correct?
That is absolutely right. The team died under my watch.
It
so.
Did. He kills Oops. Teams. Whoops. All right. Let's talk NBA. Let's just go to your favorite bet in any market period for the whole season. What do you like?
Oh my gosh. That is a tough one. Let's go Pacers win total over. How about that for a weird place to start?
Okay.
I actually think they're going to be pretty darn good this year. Last season, we saw glimpses of it before they started to pull the plug on all the relevant players. And I think this season, they're actually going to be trying to make a push for it. The bad news is that a lot of my research I lost when a hard drive died on my computer last month. It's been a sad time for me. I previously liked the Hornets, but they got too much weird stuff going on right now. So I'm backing off on that position.
Yep.
So let's start with the Pacers over. I like it a lot. I think they're going to get there. I think they're going to get there with time to spare.
38.5 is your consensus number on the Indiana Pacers. Okay. What is sort of, from your perspective, and we'll take it, you know, based on market and conventional wisdom, what is the team that you are higher on or that you are lower on than conventional wisdom?
This is not going to surprise you because you know me and fading a bunch of superstars. I'm lower on the Suns than most folks are. I think eventually they start to figure it out as the year goes on, but they are at the mercy of health on that club. They're not particularly deep. They have a bunch of guys that have never played together, and they're going to win some games in the regular season with a whole bunch of offense because Booker's very efficient and Beal is actually more efficient than folks give him credit for. But that's going to take a lot of time in my eyes for those guys to kind of get things together. I'm also a little bit higher, and this one's a grosser call, on the Timberwolves. I don't like the Rudy Gobert thing. I still don't like the Rudy Gobert thing. I just think that there's something I think the consensus is pretty low on them, and I'm higher than that low consensus.
That makes sense. Yeah. No, I get it.
Not to say that I think they're going to be great or anything, but I think that the big, like, fade the Timberwolves feel is probably not fully warranted. And I'm a little bit lower on the Thunder than consensus. I think it's typically pretty hard for teams to take massive steps multiple years in a row. I think this is a year where they now are a team that other clubs take a little bit more seriously than we saw last season. And there will be a bit of a plateau for them before next season. I think they actually take another step forward. So that's me with my piping hot takes here.
I see Kelly's nodding to some of that.
Well, no, I think there's with the Thunder from a betting standpoint too, right? The betting markets have caught up to the Thunder. So I think that's important to understand that you are, when you look at win total, when you're going to look at what they're priced at in games, where some of us were high on them the past year or two and we're able to make some money off that great ATS team, the market's now caught up to them. So I think it's a great point by Dan there. Dan, with the Timberwolves, if you're feeling that way about them, is an Anthony Edwards MVP bet in the discussion then as well?
I think that might be a little bit of a stretch for him to get all the way there. I do like him to take a nice step forward. That the I know it was FIBA and it wasn't the Olympics, but those types of experiences do have a way of kind of helping players understand the game a little bit better. I hope, actually, that he takes more control of that team than I think he might right at the outset. But I also think that having Cat back for an entire year, he's not the difference maker that they were hoping, but he's still a very good NBA player. I like Mike Conley in sort of this weird, why are you worried about Mike Conley? I think he fits that team a whole lot better than D'Angelo Russell did as far as just kind of captaining a boat. He's just steering it, just keeping it from crashing into something. And that's exactly what that team needs. So I think the Timberwolves, not from a championship run standpoint, but from a getting more regular season wins and outperforming expectations, I just like the personnel a little bit better this year, and I think the pieces fit better.
Anthony Edwards 30-1 to win the MVP. Jokic and Doncic, your short shots at +450 and 5-1 with Giannis at +550 for MVP.
Bill, I'm sorry, I have to jump in. How many years in a row have we talked about how badly the NBA wants Doncic to win
so
the MVP?
Badly. So
this is
badly.
Like a third year.
Yeah. Let's talk about awards real quick. Maybe you don't have an MVP. Do you have an MVP? Do you have a rookie of the year? Do you have a most improved player, a coach of the year, a sixth man of the year, a defensive player of the year? Any of those?
I don't have super strong feelings on them. MVP, I think, will probably have a better opportunity to get in that as you start to see the beginning of the season unfold. Rookie of the year, I would probably lean. I mean, I don't know how you.
Wembanyama bet, by the way, is +120 and Scoot is +240. Holmgren is +280. And then it goes all the way to Brandon Miller at 16-1. I mean, this could be a Wembanyama, by the way, defensive player of the year would be interesting to me as well. Right. Like, where does he show up in that? He is
like
for defensive player of the year. +7. No, let's see. What is he? Oh, yeah, 20-1. I don't know. I mean, because we saw with Banchero, right? Within a minute, Banchero was like -700.
Yeah.
So if Wembanyama starts, let's say he has two good games to start the season, like, he's going to soar in that market.
Yeah, and that's probably the way to play it, too, is to see who's going to get off to the quick start. And I think he probably does, because the book sort of isn't out on him yet. He's got all the energy in the world as a young player coming into the NBA. The rigors of a long season haven't hit. So I think you can probably end up getting pretty good value by maybe going Wemby now. At Chet. Yeah.
We have Scoot. Kelly and I both have Scoot bets at +460 is where I got it.
Yeah. And I'm same number too. Yeah. My only question real quick on Wemby is just my concern about him is kind of being able is once we get second half of the season, is he going to be a little gassed, a little winded, not used to playing this many minutes, this many games? Do you have any concerns about that or not really?
I do have concerns about that. I think the Spurs are going to mitigate some of that with rest days by playing Zach Collins at center and allowing Wembanyama to handle the smaller people at power forward. So these are all good things. But the NBA season is long. It takes its toll on even the rookies that we say are like a shoe-in. So, yes, I think there will be a dog days lull for him.
Dan, real quick, who's in the NBA Finals? We're holding you to it.
Oh, my good Lord. Let's go Celtics out of the East, and I haven't the first foggy clue out of the West.
There it is. Dano, we'll talk often. Thank you. Great seeing you.
Thanks, guys.
Dan Bespris, everybody. At Dan Bespris, B-E-S-B-R-I-S on Twitter. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN.